May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
A couple of places from John chapter 12 that really bless me. In verse 27 in John 12, it says, well, let me just start, I'll start a little earlier. In John chapter 12, in verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who were going to worship at the feast. And these therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. And they began to ask him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And so Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew told Philip, and Philip and Andrew came, and they told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. For truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Verse 27. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? This is interesting to me because this question came up here before the Garden of Gethsemane. Am I going to say, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. There came, therefore, a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the multitude, therefore, who stood by and heard it, were saying that it had thundered. And others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, This voice has not come for my sake, but has come for your sakes. In verse 31, really important. Now judgment is upon this world, or has come upon this world. And now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. For he was saying this to indicate the kind of death with which he was to die. When Jesus was saying here that the purpose for which he came, that was going to bring glory to the Father, was that he was going to take into himself the judgment of all mankind. That's what he's saying here. When he says, now judgment is upon this world, and the ruler of this world is going to be cast out. When did that happen? When he was defeated at the cross. Now, how did he get cast out? What gives the enemy right, legal right, to attack? Our fallenness, the broken law, our being under judgment. But Jesus said, there's judgment upon this world. I'm going to draw all men to myself. You know, when people say that scripture, what they used to say, well, if Jesus is lifted up, like if you lift up his name, he'll draw all men to himself. What Jesus is saying is that he was lifted up and he drew all men into himself. And he took on the judgment of the world. And in doing that, the evil one was cast out. He was defeated. That was the only way he could be defeated. God's justice had to be satisfied. And yet God's love also had to be satisfied. It doesn't say in Scripture that God is justice. It says he's love, but he is just. He's holy. And so man stood condemned under judgment. It says in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world stands under the power of the evil one. And Christ came and took on all that judgment. He took on the judgment on you. So you never have to fear God judging you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is something I wrote in this Bible a long time ago. Human failure in every tense, past, present, future, and sense of the word was dealt with in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So when you get towards the end of this chapter, Jesus says this, verse 46, I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, I came to save the world. And he saved the world by taking the judgment into himself. Your judgment, my judgment, the judgment of every human being who's ever lived. Now, here again, the heart of God. Because God's not this heavenly perfectionist who's got like his red marker out and his notepad, and all he's doing is paying attention to how many times you don't get it right so you can put another red mark by your name. So many people who say they're Christians believe that's who God is. He's looking for your failure because he's a perfectionist. But Jesus says here, "And if anyone hears my sayings, does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Remember Jesus said earlier that he said, "Lord, glorify your name. I came for this purpose." What was the purpose he came for? To save the world. And that's what brought glory to the Father. Jesus came to save the world. Jesus didn't come to judge you. Jesus' heart is not to judge you now. When you and I, as we're growing in the Lord, as we're learning, his heart is to save us. The word save, as you know, is sozo, is to make you whole. He came and gave his life to win mankind out of their condition of brokenness, failure, and judgment, to save us. "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, he has one who judges him. The word I spoke, it's what will judge him in the last day." In other words, he's basically has judged himself because what I've offered him and he's refused. "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself has sent me and has given me commandments," "what to say and what to speak. And I know his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Again, what does Jesus say? "I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world." And again, he repeated, "I only say those things that the Father says. And he gave me a commandment. And that commandment was to speak eternal life." That was the commandment. To save us, to speak eternal life. Again, what is eternal life? Not just you not having God mad at you anymore, but you're getting to participate in the life of God through Christ. Jesus gathered all humanity unto himself, took on their judgment, and then raised humanity up as a new creature in Christ. Now able to participate in the life of God through him. That's eternal life. That's what John 17 says. This is eternal life, that you would experience the life of God and his Son. This is the message. This is the heart of the Father, not to judge, but to make whole. Jesus didn't say, "I came that you might and have life, have it more abundantly." He didn't say, "I came to blow the whistle on you every time you mess up and then rub your nose in it so you'll remember how holy I am and how not holy you are. And then hope with that guilt and fear of the consequences, you'll get your act together and start acting more like God." That's the way so many Christians live their Christian life. He said, "I didn't come to judge you. I came to make you whole. I came to save you." And salvation looks like you participating in my eternal life. You're participating in the eternal life of God through me. That's the message he gave me. That was the mission. And that's what the cross is going to come to accomplish. Jesus is saying, "For this purpose I came." You're the purpose for which he came, not to judge you. And if that's who you think God is a judger, then you don't know the gospel. That's not good news. The word gospel means good news. I was judging myself a lot when I was lost. I hated my life. I felt guilty about it and ashamed of it. I just didn't know what to do about it. And then one came and took my judgment and then offered me eternal life. Not as a thing. Eternal life's not a transaction. Eternal life is a participation in a person, and that person is Jesus. That's amazing to me. I love these verses because it spells out clearly the nature of God, the nature of the gospel, and the heart of God. This is who he is. So when we do blow it, and we don't blow it just so we can blow it, we don't blow it just because, well, God is going to love me anyway, so I'm just going to say whatever I want to say and act any way I want to act. That's not a very normal response to God's love. The normal response is to want to love him back, right? To want to surrender to him back. But the Christian life isn't when you blow it, then you cover your head and beg God not to do whatever he's going to do to you. He's standing over you saying, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And this isn't it. So I'm inviting you to join me and participate in my life so you don't have to be like that anymore, think like that anymore, feel like that anymore. That's the whole point. A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about every human being is what they believe about God. That's really true. I've discovered that's true about Christians. What is it that you believe about God? Do you believe this about him? Because that's who he is. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.